Hello and welcome to another Spency on Soaps. I'm Susan Spence. Hope you're well. Had a nice weekend. We're looking forward to another big week in the world of soap, this time for the week of November 2nd, 2009. We'll do Corey, Emmerdale and EastEnders, of course. Let's start off with Corey then. And do you know what? I may as well warn you before I start here. The chances of me getting this done in 15 minutes, all of this, is just completely remote. But I am going to try and summarise, which anybody who knows me well knows that I'm pretty much incapable of. But let's have a go anyway. Start off with Corey then. And Roy is struggling to deal with Tony's murderous confession. You can't blame the guy the way that it finished on Friday night. He's just like, oh, I killed Liam. And then that's it. Brrr. So, of course, he goes home. He tells Hayley. She's completely shocked. But she thinks it's the drug speaking. And Tony didn't know what he was saying, which you and I find quite unbelievable. And actually, so does Roy, because he thinks, hold on a minute, the way that he said it to me, it was all very convincing. Anyway, he gives it a bit of thought and he heads back to the hospital for answers. But all he gets is a highly distraught Maria, who's flown in from Cyprus to find her fiancé in a critical condition. And she's probably thinking to herself, oh my God, I have absolutely no luck with men. Now, Roy, of course, he's not going to burden her with Tony's deathbed confession just now. So he keeps quiet, but it's clear it's gnawing away at him. And really, he keeps on talking to Hayley about it. And he says, you know, I'm really convinced that he really did kill Liam. And he says, I'm going to speak to the police. And she says to him, you know what, don't, because, you know, all they are the words of a dying man. That's the only evidence you've got. And everyone will think you're mad, just like they did with Maria. Now, she's got a fair point with that. And we kind of forget that Maria did always think in the beginning that he killed Liam, which is going to make it all the more difficult for her. Now, there's a point where Roy has the phone in his hand. He's about to dial 999. But the thought of bringing Maria's life crashing down stops him. And that will be his mistake, as you will find out next week. Joe proposes to Gail. This is going to be wedding number 4 for Gail, if it happens. I don't think it will, though, because he proposes to her on the boat. He's revamped the boat. It's the quickest revamp you've ever seen in your life. Do you remember the state of that boat that you bought? And now when you see it this week, oh, it's beautiful. And he decides to name it Gale Force, which I think is very good. At the same time, she's very touched that he's named it after her. And also, he gets down on one knee and proposes. So you just think to yourself, she immediately says yes. She has absolutely no qualms in saying yes, which I find slightly unbelievable. Not a good week for him in a way. It is because she says yes. But then he's made redundant at the beginning of the week from his job at the hardware store. But that is soon the least of his worries, as you will find out next week. But wedding number 4 for Gail, we shall see, because the boat, of course, is his demise, or so we've heard. Now, Michelle's a bit of a scarlet woman. She slept with that Jake, like we didn't see that one coming at the end of Friday night. Ryan's disgusted with his mum, and Michelle, a little bit embarrassed, hurries him out the flat. But she's stunned when he later explains that he's got a job in Penrith and he wants her to go with him. She's a little bit tempted, but she turns him down. And then he says to her, look, you know what, I'll be back one day. Oh, please. I reckon they'll bring him back for a while, actually, this guy. So he may have found a fan in Michelle, but he's not found a fan in Dev. I quite like this, actually, only because Dev was so mean to Bill about fixing the roof and said he was way too expensive. So, of course, this bloke, Jake, puts in his bill to Dev, and Dev's shocked because it's too big, and he says to him, too much, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to pay it. So he says, yeah, all right then. So he goes up and removes a section of tiles from the roof of the corner shop. It's obviously only one winner here, really, isn't there? Simon's got a new granddad. Oh, of course, he had Ken Barlow, and he still has Ken Barlow, but he's got his new granddad in the form of Lucy, of course, his mum. It's her dad who turns up, and he's played by Anthony Valentine, the well-known actor. The character's called George Richards, and he turns up out of the blue this week and introduces him to Simon as his granddad. Now, as you can imagine, Peter's not too impressed by this. Complete stranger walking up to the little boy and saying, I'm your granddad. Plus, he knows that George walked out on Lucy when she was Simon's age. So he obviously gives him a bit of a hard time. It's clear, though, that this chap has some kind of agenda because he digs up dirt on both Peter and Leanne's past, which causes a huge argument. And once the air is cleared, though, Peter can see that George is desperate to make amends, so he invites him and his wife Eve over for dinner at the Barlow's house. Now, Deirdre and Blanche are very taken with him, but Ken is not so sure. So is it a case of the green-eyed monster, or does Ken actually have a point? Also this week, Frieda moves in with Emily. All is not well with that. She loses her job, but why? David introduces his new girlfriend Zoe to Gail. Eileen rumbles Jesse and Julie. I say get rid of Jesse. He's a complete waste of space, doesn't do anything, and all he does is bring down Eileen because we love her. And Norris thinks he's found the perfect shop assistant at last. Basically, this man is a clone of him. On to Emmerdale then. And Laurel catches fire because she's at the bonfire night. And as she kind of, a stray ember catches the back of her coat, and up she goes in flames, or the coat does actually. Now, nobody notices at first except for Sally. Guess what Sally does? No prizes. She basically ignores it, doesn't see anything, just lets it go. Anyway, thankfully, Marlon notices and he screeches, "Laurel, Laurel!" And that's when Sally runs into action. She launches herself on top of Laurel to put the flames out. And of course, all of a sudden, she's the heroine. So we know that actually she was going to let her burn. But nobody else knows that. And of course, she's beholden to Sally for saving her life. Will she be saying that next week? Let's say not. Or will she? Because you know what? You know how you heard this story about Laurel being caught in the church and being trapped in the fire and all that kind of thing, which we'll talk about in more detail next week? I thought that that would be the end of the Sally storyline, but it's not. I have to admit, I don't like the Sally storyline at all. Now, David proposes to Layla, but she says no, which is such a shame, isn't it? Because they were a lovely little couple. Although I was reading through some old stuff the other day and I was like, my God, it wasn't that long ago that David was going out with Nicola. I think he's been through every single one in the village. Anyway, he basically gets down on one knee in a packed wool pack. So poor bloke, completely humiliated because she says no. Now, we all know the reason why she says no. She actually wants to say yes. It's all made worse, though, by the fact that Nathan's standing at the bar and he finds the whole thing highly amusing. Now, she doesn't give him an explanation. She just runs out and the poor guy's kind of just left standing there. It's kind of, you kind of actually feel a bit sorry for him, because early in the week, Layla hands in a notice to Nathan, but he won't accept it from it. And she basically slaps him and you think, yes, yes. But she's at the end of her tether, and that's what actually prompts David to propose, because he says to his dad, look, there's something not right here. And his dad says, well, try some romance. So, of course, he takes it a step too far and proposes. Now, Jenny is normally the friend that Layla turns to, but her workmate Doug senses that all is not well after this proposal. He doesn't understand why she would turn David down. He knows things have not been right for a while with her, so he goes and sees her, and that's when she confesses everything. He's completely stunned. He says to her, look, you've got to come clean to David. That way Nathan will have nothing on you and the blackmailing will stop. And she thinks about it and thinks, well, do you know what? I've lost David already. So, you know, I've got absolutely nothing left to lose. And that really, as we said, is what she should have done in the first place. But of course, this is Soapland. Charity, my least favourite person in Emmerdale. Her plan to gain Kane's trust looks to be working. However, he's a little suspicious at this major U-turn. But by the end of the week, they're kissing again, and it looks as if that she is reeling him in. Now, I can't imagine that a man like Kane would be so easily taken in, especially when he knows that Charity's an expert in manipulation. But let's just see what happens with that one. And Marlon, oh, he's got a big crush on Moira, because he has a bit of a run-in with Viv. She's mean, isn't she? She accuses him of trying to fleece Donna over the terms of their divorce. And Moira steps in, seeing how upset he is. She says, look, come to the bonfire party. Just as well he does go, because he saved Laurel in the end. And they have a little hug, but it's quite clear that it means more to him than it does to her. And there's that saying, isn't it? And I don't think I've got this right. Why would you go for a hamburger when you've got steak at home? It's something like that. But you know what I mean, because she's got John Barton at home. Let's move on to Emmerdale then. Oh, no, we did Emmerdale, EastEnders. You know why I'm doing this? I'm trying to beat my time. I'm trying to get it all done in 15 minutes, and I'm doing all right, you know. Archie sets fire to the Vic. Oh, there's a lot of fire going on. I'm sure these storyliners sit down together and say, right, let's do something together. Anyway, he's obviously desperate to get revenge on his family for alienating him, and he plans to torch the pub and frame Billy for it. However, his plan goes up in smoke when he discovers that Peggy's inside. Now, this plan has actually been born by Janine, because she thinks if they can make it look like an insurance job, then the Mitchells will be forced to sell up because all their money has gone on Sam's bail. Now, Peggy this week already let slip that the Vic is losing money. So anyway, Janine doesn't bank on the fact that Archie is going to frame Billy for it. And when he goes round to her and says, right, are you ready to do this? She's like, actually, do you know what? No, I don't want to do it because I quite like Billy. He's got a family and I don't think he deserves this to happen. So Archie knows that this is the perfect time to do this. It's bonfire night. The pub's going to be empty while everybody's out and about at the fire. So he creeps into the cellar, sets light to a bit of paper, and then throws a bottle of white spirit over the flame and drops Billy's wallet at the same time. Now, when he smashes the bottle, it obviously makes a noise, and that alerts Peggy. She comes running down with a baseball bat in her hand. Wonderful sight to see. And he thinks, oh my God. So he kind of like says, oh, it's all right, it's all right. And he tries to put out the flames and all that kind of thing. And he makes out as if he did it because he spotted some kids breaking in. Now, she's quite dubious about it. And she finds the wallet a little bit later on when she's clearing up with Roxy and Ronnie. Now, she slips it into her pocket. And then later she calls Archie and says, come round here. And they're sitting enjoying a drink at the bar. And she says to him, you know what? None of this makes sense. And she accuses him of actually deliberately trying to set fire to the Queen Vic and blaming Billy for it. And he sort of grabs her arm so that she has to look him in the eye. And that's when she kisses him. And you're like thinking, what are you doing? After all that he's done, you will be shouting at your television screen when this happens. Now, has she taken leave of her senses or is this all part of a bigger plan? Personally, she's taken leave of her senses. Now, Lucy gets mugged accidentally. Accidentally, on purpose, by Jay. She doesn't know it's Jay. He mugs her for her mobile phone. He's fed up with her showing off. But when he turns to look at her, she's been pushed to the floor and he's got his hood up. He realises she's not moving, so he goes back to help. She doesn't know it was him and he gets hailed as a bit of a hero. So another Sally, really, in Emmerdale, actually. This has all worked up because of the fact that she's bought this mobile phone with the money that Christian left in the telephone box, the £300. So in a way, what goes around comes around. Anyway, Christian rumbles her. He realises after a whole lot of to-ing and fro-ing and lots of people's phone going off at the same time and all this kind of thing, that actually it's Lucy who is the blackmailer, and he is completely and utterly disgusted by her. She turns pale. She begs him not to tell Saeed. And it's not long, actually, of course, before Saeed confronts her. And he leaves her a little bit scared as to what he's going to do next. Now, I reckon it's actually Saeed who should be worried, because she's a right little minx, that Lucy. In fact, I sometimes think she's worse than Rosie Webster in Coronation Street. And she wouldn't think twice about spilling the beans just for a bit of fun on this. Lucas proposes to Denise, but Owen puts a spanner in the works. Now, I thought that Denise and Lucas were already engaged, but obviously not. They obviously just did it kind of half-heartedly. They celebrate in the Vic, but the atmosphere soon turns when Owen walks in and he and Denise start to argue. And that's when Denise discovers that Lucas beat Owen up. Now, she drags Lucas home and is stunned that he would lie to her. She says, I can't believe it. I feel really stupid for defending you. So she makes Lucas go to Dot's to apologise to Owen, which, of course, leaves Lucas absolutely seething. But it's later on when Lucas spots Denise leaving Owen's that he really goes to town and he pays Owen a visit. Now, let's just say by the time he leaves, Lucas has enough evidence to land Owen back in jail. He does this funny thing with a knife, Lucas, which is somewhat bizarre. But the problem with this is that because Owen is on this kind of, I don't know, the conditions of his bail or whatever it is that he's on, he really is on a little bit of a sticky wicket. And Jane kisses Masood is at the end of Jane and Ian. They end up kissing, actually, because she and Ian have fallen out over this idea of having a baby. She, you know, is like, he's just not interested at all. And Masood spots the adoption papers on the table, and later she's confiding in him and they share a kiss. Now, it's nothing major and they laugh it off. I'm not sure what Zainab would say, admittedly, but Jane's been emotional all week because everywhere she looks, there are babies. Even Heather's got one. And Tanya sort of arranges for Jane to take Oscar for a while, and they call it Operation Baby Beal. The idea is to get Ian to realise that it's actually quite nice having a little one around. But things don't go to plan, because what with Lucy being mugged, the last thing Ian wants is a baby in the house. So they have a big row. And he refers to the children as his, which proves Jane's point, actually. And later, when things calm down, they have a bit of a heart-to-heart and Ian agrees to try for the adoption. But it's obvious to her that his heart isn't in it. And when she asks him to look her in the eye and tell her he wants the baby, he can't do it. So she feels crushed. She tells Ian, look, I need some space. Well, does she leave? Will Ian live to regret his actions and push his wife into the arms of another man or men? You've seen the pictures, haven't you? We'll just have to wait and see. There we are. You're up to date. I didn't do it in 15 minutes. I did it in 16 minutes. Oh, there's always next week. Thank you for listening to Spencey on Soaps. I'm Susan Spence. We'll catch you back here next week. See ya.